Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Well, now it is time for the funeral attire, everyone. Oof. We hope you are doing well, better than when you were watching Roma, but hopefully by the time you are watching this, you are feeling and doing much better. Before we get into the proceedings of tonight, a thank you to all of our wonderful patrons over at Patreon. If you would like to join, patreon.com/RomaPress. And of course, thank you to our newest patron, Monsieur Aboul. And of course, to all of our other wonderful current patrons who had no shortage of opinions on how Roma should go forward. The only consensus you will find essentially is to blow the entire thing up for all of us and to find a new sport to watch and enjoy. But again, if you would like to join the madness, patreon.com/RomaPress, your support, it allows us to do all of the things that we do here, and we greatly appreciate it. And if you would like to join, if you would like to watch the video podcast, youtube.com/@IceRomaPress, like, subscribe, all of that wonderful, wonderful social media stuff, which I am trying to avoid today, Andy, because as we know, after every single match, you and I can attest, we are subjected, as are all clubs that once held Jose Mourinho on the bench, after every single result post Mourinho.
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody who has been onto Twitter for even 5 seconds, beyond the fact that it is a cesspool, you will know that Jose Mourinho has a very loud and very loyal group of supporters, which for the most part, I would say most of the time, there's nothing wrong with that. But obviously, with any large group of individuals who are dedicated to a single cause, you will have some people who go a bit sideways in their approach to carrying out and displaying their love for said team, said individual. So as we know, since the 15th of January, after every single result, I should say negative result of Roma, it has turned into a firing squad, essentially, for these very dedicated Mourinho supporters, which I guess is somewhat confusing to me because it was as if the first 6 months of the season did not exist. I don't know how you can retcon any of that stuff, but I'm sure you and I, right now, it is just after the match. We don't have social media open. Well, we have it open on our phones, but not our laptops. So I'm sure we have a barrage of wonderful, polite, and balanced messages waiting for us.
There's so already 15 comments under our post about the game's final result. So I'm just putting it out there. 15 comments in about 5 minutes. Mm.
I look at that first half, okay? Because if I want to find a summary, if I wanted to embody, or if I want, somebody asked to me, John, Andy, can you please just very shortly give to me a synopsis of IS Roma version 2023-2024? I would just show the first half of tonight between Atalanta and Roma. And I would say, well, I don't know how quickly this synopsis needs to be, but if you just watch 2 to 3 minutes of this, you will get the idea. Because I am still trying to find the words for what that first half was. And by the way, it's not as if the second half was much better. When I was putting together the graphic for the data tonight, I almost had a heart attack because Atalanta, their XG was under 3. I thought it would have been 9-10. I mean, they hit the post 3 or 4 times. Koop Meiners did it half a dozen on his own. And somehow the XG of Atalanta remained under 3. It goes without saying. I mean, I'm disgusted. Everybody's going to be disgusted by tonight. Trying to maintain some semblance. I'm recording this in this dungeon, my own personal Guantanamo Bay. I reach my arms out. People can see. I can like touch the sides of the walls. Okay. So if I scream, the things that will go on, or, you know, neighbors will be able to hear. Okay. I want to yell, I want to scream, I want to, but that's not going to do anything, because at the end of the day, I'm not going to say that people expected what we saw tonight, because Roma obviously have been far better in recent months under Daniele De Rossi. But this is something we have seen on countless occasions. And I'm not saying that I am surprised by the result tonight, because, again, I didn't think they were going to win. I thought best case scenario, you leave Bergamo with a draw. And I thought that was even going to be a tall task, because A, it's Bergamo. B, it's Gasparini. C, it was a club that once employed a guy with the surname with the surname that rhymes with Dangslow. I can't think of a word. And great this job, is Jim. Also a team coming off their having clinched their first European final, okay, in the history of their club. The atmosphere was going to be electric. It was going to be off of the charts. The environment was going to be difficult, okay? So I look at everything that prior coming into the match were the circumstances, and I thought, okay, it's going to be difficult. I don't expect a victory. I have to tell you, man, even for all of the sick and depraved things Roma have subjected everyone to, and the depraved things you and I have had to relive in our telling of each of these episodes, I was absolutely... It's one of those things when, like, when your father or a close friend or a partner tells you, when they say you're mad, it can kind of roll off your back. When I hear disappointed, it just hits. It's a new level of inner turmoil that you experience when somebody says, "I'm not sad or mad. I'm disappointed." Like, I almost feel that way, but if I could express it more strongly with a different word, that would somehow express truly how I felt inside. That's what I want to say, because that, Andy, that first half, I almost felt like crying, because it was men versus children. It was one way traffic. If you told to me these two teams had the same amount of rest coming into tonight, I would say I was on one of those television shows that they are playing a joke and they are just waiting to see your reaction. I couldn't believe. And by the way, I can't even make a Bangs Ball joke here, because he had nothing to... Well, maybe he had something to do with it, I don't know. But he doesn't work there anymore. So it's not as if I could say, oh, he shot them up and they had the good stuff going just after they clinched the Europa League final. That's not it. I don't even know what to say, because those first 20 to 30 minutes, man, I felt like I was watching a crime take place before my eyes, like an assault, a battery happening before us, and there was no authority we could call for help. I was left floored, even by the standards that Roma have imposed onto us by the way of their consistent disappointments over the season. Even I was struck by how unprepared, unmotivated, slow, fatigued. As somebody who is tall, okay, I am just under 2 meters tall, 6'4", but I like to say 6'5" tall. When I see that goal, the first goal, and how slowly Gianluca Mancini moves, I thought ankle weights were on him, like he was being tied down by cinder blocks. When you are tall, everything you do looks slow. You look like an idiot most of the time doing anything athletics-wise, okay? I felt like watching him, he was in slow motion and everybody else was at regular speed. I don't even know what to say. The second goal, whatever. I mean, what am I going to say about that? I mean, for Roma to have even entered the half 2-0, you want to talk about miracles? That was the only miracle. That was the only good thing about tonight. Svilar, he makes that fantastic save to prevent a headed goal from going in. Kop Meiners has a free kick that hits the post. I just started 10 minutes of me complaining, and I haven't given the floor to you yet. I have to spill all this crap out, because if I don't get it out now, I'm going to forget everything that took place, because this is going to take some therapy of levels unforeseen. I'm not going to be able to just talk to someone to get my way out of what I saw tonight. I don't even know if medications or drugs will be able to remove the damage that we were all subjected to tonight. I mean, where do you start with this? Because for me, if we just want to take one thing that kills me tonight, it is how, Andy, they look so ill-prepared. I was so saddened by that. Your entire Champions League qualification is on the line tonight, and they looked like they just played dead. I'm so hurt by what I saw to begin that match, especially that first half. I mean, where do you come out with this thing? Because there's no positive to hold on to. I don't even know what I'm supposed to cling on to.
After witnessing the glorious rant by John, which was perfect because he just said, I don't know what to say. And we were at 10 minutes of you discussing, which it was brilliant.
Yeah, I understand. I always begin the episodes by saying, I don't know where to start.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to start. I don't know what, you know, and then you find the words. They come out, you know, they come out from the depths of your gut, which is probably now in need of Pepto-Bismol. And I just want to, you know, as always, you know,
that has
I know
to be the first thing everyone believes, though. Yeah. When it comes to the preparation and just how ill prepared they look, I am so hurt by that, man. Like, to my core, I'm hurt by just how unprepared they looked for this moment. They did not appear ready or seem ready.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's, you know, this is the moment where you quote that Alec Baldwin speech. A, B, C, always be closing. A, always be, B, C, closing. Always be closing, you know? And it's about, you know, good father, fuck you. Go home and play with your kids, you know? Hit the bricks, pal. That applies to very often how Roma go into these decisive games in the league over the last few years. We've been in this situation far too many times for me to even, you know, and now you're the, remember when we started this podcast, I was the one where you would be like, okay, Andy, just go on a rant, you know, and the whole episode would be just me going off on a rant. Things have changed since then. And I think I've just grown accustomed to Roma failing to meet the moment on these specific occasions. When it comes to the league, when it comes to clinching that Champions League spot, there is something Roma have been just completely unable to do. It's something that is permeating the environment. It's something that has permeated the locker room. No matter who the manager is, no matter who's on the pitch, these guys just can't get the job done. When it comes to that kind of pressure in the league, it feels like Roma just cannot muster the same kind of enthusiasm, the same kind of drive that they've been able to do in Europe over the years. It just, that does not translate into their league performance. It's happened again. It's happened again. It's happened again. Since it happened last year, it happened the year before, it happened with Fonseca. Every time that there is this big chance to make that leap, to take that decisive step, and to actually be in charge of your own destiny, be the one calling the shots, Roma can't do it. They cannot do it. So, yes, theoretically, you know, there is still room for a miracle after tonight. But it's bullshit because you always set yourself up that way. You know, you always set yourself up for the miracle. And the miracle does not happen because this Roma doesn't have the facilities to make that stuff happen. And I think tonight is once again just a clear display between a team that knows what it wants and a team that says what it wants but doesn't truly believe it. And, you know, players, manager can say what they want about recovering their energy after the elimination from the Europa League. Clearly, this team tonight did not have it. Even when they scored that one goal with Pellegrini on the penalty, it never felt like they were going to take charge of things. If they had gotten a result from this, it would have been extremely unfair to Atalanta, who dictated the game from the first to the last minute.
Oh,
and so
yes.
Once again, we are just confronted with the same thing. You know, I that's why I've been really questioning my sanity on this podcast, because I find myself stuck in this loop. And that's why on the last episode, I went on this tangent near the final minutes, where it was, you know, I basically said, let's get this over with. You know, let's get the summer started, because I've seen this movie far too many times. I cannot tell you anything more about this team that this team hasn't already told you on the pitch. All you need to know about Roma, they give it to you on the pitch. Everything that you need to know about how this team often fails to meet the moment, how they talk too much, how they cannot back up what they say on the pitch, at least in Serie A, is on display. And that terrible vicious cycle of making you believe, of scoring that goal near at the death against Udinese, which makes you believe, scoring against Napoli late in the game to get a precious draw, to make you believe, and then just sucking your soul away in other clear instances of where you could have turned it around. I can think of Bologna, I can think of Atalanta. It's always the same. So I would love to be able to bring some nuance to this conversation. The only nuance you can really get from this is there always needs to be balance, because I tend to read the same things in comments on Twitter, also on our Patreon group chat every year. You know, every year I see people say, well, this guy is shit and that guy is crap. But then as soon as the team starts performing again, well, then Pellegrini is a phenomenon. And, you know, and Daniele De Rossi was a mastermind at the beginning of his tenure. Now he's a village idiot. Brian Cristante at the start of the season was a brilliant midfielder who always served dutifully to every coach that he had. Now he's just another terrible player on Roma's wages. And, you know, there has to be some balance. So in all of this madness, we should all gather our strengths. Understand that, you know, clearly it's always footballing gods always send us a message. The message, I think, this year is just you rushed it too quickly, as in you failed to meet the moment the first half of the season, and then you try to pack it all into the second half. You try to get back into Europa League, and you try to get back into Serie A. You were out of Europa League by the time when Mourinho was out. You had no hope of getting back on track in Europa League. We treated those games against Feyenoord like a formality, like something we needed to get out of the way. And whereas in the meantime, Bologna and Atalanta, two teams with wages considerably lower than Roma, have been working and working and working to make things happen. They were the ones in charge of their destiny. Roma never were.
Yeah, that is, I mean, there's no denying that. Listen, I have said it season after season after season. The points you wish for now aren't lost in these recent games. Okay, we're in the position we are in now because you, Verona, Salernitana at home, Genoa, we can go on and on and on. I can't do that now, obviously, because I'm too scarred. The question I have, because I do think when it comes to situations where it's a huge match and your season comes down to it, while we do say tonight is do or die, tonight is make or break, whatever we want to say, it is simply the culmination of a series of events that obviously happened prior to that. You obviously didn't necessarily lose the season tonight. This was really the final stop on the absolute nightmare trip that Roma have been on this season. So I think, in my opinion at least, you really miss you really miss the point if you focus or fixate too much on tonight. Tonight was obviously shit. You don't have to say that. I don't have to say that. Anybody with a functioning pair of eyes was able to see how shit this was tonight. So I suppose spending far too much time on this individual match, I don't know what that's going to do for me, because I can find about 12 other shit performances, maybe not as bad as we saw tonight, but at least as far as overall quality and final results, you could find at least one dozen from this season that fit the mold of tonight. The one thing I do want to discuss, though, and this is more so in direct relation to De Rossi, because after that first half, there was at halftime in the Patriot group chat, there was a ongoing and very loud debate about De Rossi directly in reference to this match and his handling of this match. Now, there were others who took issue with some of the way he handled things prior to this. I more so just want to talk about this game tonight. And I sort of led with it in the previous episode about how I didn't agree with the handling of the match against Juventus last weekend, following the first leg against Bayer, and then the second leg, how that was handled, and then tonight. I said it the last week. I thought it was bizarre, some of the decisions he made. I think if we take the previous 2 weeks in total, see, I'm losing it that bad. If we take these 2 weeks together in total and we just analyze from a team management standpoint, man management standpoint, whatever you want to call it, I think that has been terribly mismanaged by Daniele De Rossi. It is something he will learn from. Here is the thing. When he starts out as good as he did, he sets this expectation, not to his fault, because of how hot he started out with Roma, how well things went almost immediately since he arrived. I think sometimes we forget this is a guy in his very first top flight job as a head coach. Mistakes are going to be made. So while I think he made very poor judgments, in my opinion, I can't go as far. I saw some discussion of sack the guy, do a reversal on the decision of the Friedkins. I don't know what that accomplishes. I do not understand what you gain by doing that or even thinking that way.
That's why I say balance is needed.
Well, absolutely. Keep balance. Balance is absolutely needed. Again, I think if we are talking about tonight, because we are here immediately after the result, we are going to be reacting very viscerally about the shit that we were just subjected to. But I do think, again, if we want to, why are we even in this position to begin with? Okay, you're in this position to begin with because you start the first half of your season, you essentially wiped your backside with. The first half of your season, you completely mismanaged from August to January. There was nothing. There was zero. You showed nothing, okay? That is why you are in the position you are in now. You are not in the position you are in now because of the previous 3 to 5 weeks, okay? It's 6 months down, 5 to 6 months to begin the season down the drain. Still, I think there are some things that can come from this. If we just focus on tonight and the handling of the stuff by De Rossi, it's easy to say with hindsight. So I don't find any value in using this as an opportunity to like dunk on the guy, because it reminds me of the thing where I use this example a lot. Like on Twitter, people love to go back to a tweet from like 2 to 3 years ago when the situation of today changes, and they love to do a dunk on you to make you look like an idiot. And I liken it to saying, well, if I meet somebody and I say, oh, yeah, he is a nice guy, and 5 days later, he goes out and maims and murders his entire family. Well, he didn't do that when I met him. Can I change my opinion now that he went and maimed and murdered his whole family and say he's not a nice guy now? Okay, my opinion changed because the facts and the situation changed. So given that, I'm going to say that even last week when I said it, I didn't like the decisions of or the handling by De Rossi. But again, I don't think it makes much sense to do some of the things I'm seeing and reading about sacking the guy. He's an idiot. He, as you said, we have people calling the guy. He went from a hero to zero in the matter of like 90 minutes from tonight. So I there's nothing gained by doing that, because you can't live that way, having such a short-term view or short-term reaction to things when they happen, obviously so viscerally as they did tonight. But how do you view the way De Rossi handled strictly these last few weeks? For me, he handled it badly, but that doesn't mean I want to tar and feather the guy. He'll learn. So what? I mean, beyond that, I don't know what use we find in questioning this thing of De Rossi. It is what it is. He made mistakes. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, absolutely, John. It has to do with balance. It has to do with keeping some sort of neutrality in the face of this horror, which we are all witnesses to. We are all part of this insanity that Roma bring to our lives. Obviously, we are all in this together, and that's why it's so key to yet keep a safe distance and not jump to conclusions. As in, if De Rossi was brought in such difficult circumstances, if you want Roma to go in a different direction as opposed to what they were doing with Jose Mourinho near the end of his tenure, if you want, and if you keep looking at teams like Atalanta, like Bologna, in the past, you know, we've seen our fair share of exactly even Napoli with Spalletti. You have to believe in something. So you cannot just bring a guy and then question this and the entire oeuvre that preceded these last couple of weeks. As in, this is a young coach, as you said. His only previous experience was in Spal. You knew from the get-go that it was never going to be easy. What your expectations were in January does not align with whatever followed later, because no matter who you are out there, if you can be the fondest fan of Jose Mourinho as a Romanista, and you still for 100% certainty you were positively surprised by what De Rossi accomplished in those opening months to his tenure. So that is the fact. Everybody was positively surprised by this whole endeavor by De Rossi. The fact that there is still things to be improved, there is still growth to be made, both for the manager, for the team, for the club as a whole, sure, and it's under everybody's eyes. As I said again, Bologna and Atalanta will get to the Champions League because they've been in charge of their own destiny. They've done the work. They've done the homework. You can argue that Bologna benefited from just playing one time per week, but that's how it is for those teams. And Bologna have done an excellent job. Same goes for Atalanta, who, after a shaky start, were able to turn it around and keep manage a consistent, you know, grip on both competitions, something that Roma did not do, as always. So it's, you cannot pretend or want to jump, you know, get a head start, fast forward. If you're talking about a team that totaled 2 points out of a possible 12 games against Salernitana, Hellas Verona, Torino, and Genoa. 2 points out of 12. Okay?
Yes.
Against four teams that you should have easily beaten. Again, I repeat, Salernitana, Torino, Hellas Verona, Genoa, 2 points in four games against teams that are battling relegation or have been relegated. So, I'm just saying, we lost 10 points just there. Think about where you could be sitting in 10 yes. points above. So that's really all. It comes down to Roma never having really taken stock of their situation. So why were you supposed to take stock of it tonight, two days after dropping out of Europa League? It was never going to happen. Never.
No, it wasn't going to happen. I mean, the only solace, I say it obviously in jest, the singular positive, I suppose, that can come from tonight, prepare yourselves for a shit summer. Keep all of the transfer market stuff. You see a big name on a guy who earns a big wage, who you know will warrant a large transfer fee. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Don't even give yourself the hope. Andy, that we have warned people, and again, maybe this isn't something to cross right now. Perhaps we just end it speaking more from a big, larger picture point of view. Your summer, it changes in such a massive, the levels of magnitude by which the entire summer, just again, it doesn't happen strictly because of tonight. Tonight was simply the final stop on the journey where you lost, but the levels of magnitude to which now the summer goes from one extreme to the other, Champions League versus not Champions League, the difference in which you can carry out a summer transfer market is, I know we have warned people about this for months, 4 weeks. It changes so much that the words you and I say on here do not do it justice. We are looking at such a different type of summer. We are looking at a squad that is so different. Goodbye, Lukaku. Maybe Paulo Dybala. I don't want to go down that path yet. We are already depressed. There's no reason to do it even more. But I would say
Wait a second. So, but okay, I follow you, and I absolutely I'm just an advocate of this as you are. I've tried to make people realize how important it is that we reach Champions League, but. What's the problem? Because
I never do, though. That is my point. No. I want to warn people now. You have a few weeks to prepare.
Wait. Every time I go on this terrible app that is called WhatsApp, and I'm exposed to the barrage of great philosophical takes by our good patrons, every time I go there after a loss, I see, well, sell him, sell that. I mean, this team is overrated. This thing is horrible. This guy is no good. This guy was terrible to begin with, and we hyped him up. And this other guy, well, he's you know, why would you bet on him in the future? I think tonight the agreed number of players that are good at Roma was established that it's six. So all I'm saying is, what's the problem? If you're confronted with the idea of selling half of your squad in order to generate revenue, what's the problem? Since we agree that everybody's shit, like the majority of people here assume, then what's the problem? If you want Roma to rebuild, then what's the problem? It all comes down to, at the end of the day, we've been here before again. That's why I cannot muster that same kind of enthusiasm, because we've discussed the same exact situation for 5 consecutive years, okay? So it's not... I'm sitting here for the 6th time, John. For the 6th time, I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, it's not what's going to happen, because what's going to happen is normal. For Roma, by this point, this is normal. You can argue that, yes, this hampers the growth that the Friedkins want the club to undergo. But again, it all comes down to, do you make smart decisions? Okay. Are you going to sign somebody like Gini Wijnaldum and then prevent the signing of somebody who could potentially change the future of the club in years to come? Or are you going to act smart and do things well despite the limitations that you are going to be forced to operate under? It all comes down to being smart. Do Roma want to be smart? Will De Rossi be playing a major role in the recruitment? Will the new sporting director be well aligned with the manager's views, with the club ownership, and so on and so forth? Because with Mourinho, I was tired of always seeing the same scenes of push and pull, of these names being dropped, and supposedly nobody was ever happy of the names that were brought in. And this whole, the way that Roma performed the transfer market with Pinto and Mourinho always sounded like there was some kind of ongoing battle behind the scenes. Okay, well, according to fans, Lukaku is overrated. Dybala is overrated because he gets injured. Pellegrini is overrated because he's a shit captain. Brian Cristante is overrated because nobody would ever start him in a strong team. Mancini today was also overrated. Apparently, Mancini also needs to be sold. Ndika was slow today, so he also needs to get sold. The only player who's not supposed to be sold is Miles VR. So I'm just saying, where's the bad in this? If you're so set on this Roma team being terrible, then try and perhaps channel the energy, this negative energy that you've been subjected to over these last few weeks, into thinking that, hey, perhaps, you know what, something good may come out of this after all. So here I am once again playing the glass half full type, and I'm just urging people to not be miserable, to not be sad. It sucks because we've been here time and time again, and I've underlined this in my opening. You should not be wishing for a miracle at this point of the season. You should be the one calling the shots. And somehow Roma have failed time and time again to be in that position. Fine. That's one thing. But then this apocalyptic scenario, don't let it get to you. If you let that apocalyptic scenario get to you, no, you're right. Done. You're going to have a hellish summer. A hellish summer. Meanwhile, I'll be sitting here sipping on my screwdriver. I'm going to have the time of my life, you know, come seeing all these rumors come up, linking Roma with all kinds of profiles. Nobody's going to have a clue of what this club want to do. And perhaps if we just take a step back, if we don't allow the noise to get to the Friedkins, get to Daniele De Rossi, and get to the new sporting director, maybe someone will understand that in order to do what Atalanta have been doing, or in order to do what Bologna have been doing this year, you need to start with the simple things and do them correctly, step by step, and not fast forward everything. Because again, fans are also complicit in this. We ignored the first part of the season. As soon as Daniele De Rossi started performing well, we ignored it. But what Daniele De Rossi and Roma tried to do in that period of time, him and the club, they tried to cram as much as possible into these remaining 5 months of the season. And you just cannot do it. If you cram those 5 months, you're still not going to get ahead of Bologna and Atalanta. You know why? Because they've been working their asses off since August of last year. And in August of last year, Roma were too busy drawing with Salernitana. Let me remind you of that.
I think that's the perfect way to sort of put the bow on all of this. Listen, when you are playing catch up and having to make up results to what Roma were forced to do under De Rossi, and given again the quick start he had, he sort of just forces you by way of the good results to forget about the first half of that season. But that is why you were in the position you were tonight. I've been saying for weeks, if you just get 2 to 3 of those results in the first half of the season different, you are looking at such a different type of scenario that you are in versus what it is today. You are not having to fight for your life in this entire month, really. I mean, Juve are now find themselves in sort of like the opposite situation. They do really well in the first half. Now they are going to complete crap, and they are barely hanging on. I just look at the landscape of where we are today, and again, hindsight is always 20/20 in perfect vision. But you mentioned, you rattled off all of the games. You don't even need all of those to go your way. Just two of them, three of them to go. We are looking at such a different season. And that is the problem I always have with Roma. I always, again, the points you missed the most in the spring are the ones you missed in the first half of the season. I've been saying that same damn thing for, as you said, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm tired of saying it, but yet it always turns out to be the case every single time. I mean, this happens every year. You know why I have to say the same thing? It's because the same damn thing happens every single season. I would love to come up with something different, but that is where I find myself, where April Absolutely. And May, you and I are sitting here and we are going through the list of results dropped in August, September, through December.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I still bring up that match where Roma, they beat Atalanta and then they shit the bed the following week against Sampdoria. You can find this. Yeah. He just press play and then repeat. It happens again and again. We will have plenty of time now to complain about this season. Let's end it there. There's enough sadness and depression from tonight. We will leave it there. We will come back later in the week. Until next time, ciao.